We've had a wild week in America. A lot of things are happening in America all the time. But today, of course, I want to, along with many others, be remembering a patriot. And that's what I'm going to call my message today, remembering a patriot. And of course, you know who that is. That's our Charlie Kirk. I want you to put his picture up if you can. Charlie was an amazing 31-year-old, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about him right here. But before that, though, there was a beautiful blonde girl sitting on a metro train down in, I believe it was South Carolina, just sitting there. And a man stood up behind her with a hoodie on and took his knife. We saw the knife raised up, and he began to hit her right in the neck. And he stabbed her, I don't know how many times. We didn't see that part. But she died right there, her daddy in Ukraine, her family hurting. Was she a patriot? Well, she may have laid her life down for something, but she was a precious woman who our hearts go out to, amen? Let me tell you what a patriot is. A patriot is a person who vigorously supports and loves their country and is prepared to defend it. This week, this man, a 31-year-old father, a man of God, was killed for his political views, his religious views, and his family views. That's the only reason they killed him. They killed him to stop his mouth, to take away his freedom of speech. Can you imagine dying for such a cause, a beautiful cause as that? Charlie Kirk. I believe Charlie was a martyr. So do many others believe he was a martyr. A martyr? You say, what's that mean? It's a person who is killed because of their religious or other beliefs. Sure enough, he was. That's the main reason he was killed. Because of his beliefs. He went on to college campuses and university campuses all over America and stepped right into a propaganda machine. And it wasn't popular, of course, to speak the things he spoke, because when you step onto one of these campuses, they don't like other views going forth. So let me just read you a couple of things that I've heard this week. We've heard all kinds of things. We don't have time to share everything that we heard, but I don't know how many of you have seen this giant of a man. I think he may be black. I don't think he's Hispanic. He's a dark man, and his name is Tyrus, and he used to wear a big belt. What do you call that? He was a wrestling. I don't think he wears a belt anymore, but he's still a champion. Here's what he said about him. And he said, now, you know I'm not a religious person. But I learned, he says, that Charlie's faith was absolutely unbelievable. Quote, he took three things that were death sentences to talk about in America. He took religion, gender, and politics, and talked about it with anyone and everyone on a college campus. Even if they wanted to debate, he would call them up and say, let's talk about this. What is your view? And they would go back and forth. And then he goes on to say, he talked about these things, those three, and I've never heard anyone say those three things were death sentence, but that's what they literally have become. He said, but not one building was burnt down, and not one policeman was spit on, and there were no riots in the street. He said the killer did not get the results that he wanted. He thought he was going to shut down one voice, which would shut down many voices, and scare people and cause them to walk in fear and stay off of the campuses. But Tyrus went on to say, but now he has opened 1,000 other voices like Charlie Kirk. Amen, church? Come on, give God the glory. And then he went on to say, I hope his tour continues. And he said, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't understand his faith. I wish I could understand it. And let me tell you, as my big brother would say, the Christians and the pastors are going to be like him, on him, like bees on honey. They're going to get him saved. So possibly the next time you hear him, if not now, very soon, Tyrus will be saved because of this man's faith. He touched his heart. How many of you know who Judge Jeanine Pirro is? Boy, she's tough enough, isn't she? Here's what she said. Charlie was a godly man, and I love that man. He was an American patriot. This 31-year-old man impacted not only our nation, but the world. She said, I think there should be a day on our calendars to honor such a man. Amazing. They all commented on what a wonderful father and husband and gentleman he was. Wherever he was, wherever he met you, they said he was always the same. The Utah governor said Charlie was targeted for his views on family, religion, and politics. This governor said he was the kindest, smartest, bravest man I think I'd ever met. Many of us wanted to go onto the campuses. And he said Charlie may have been afraid in his heart, but he went anyway because of his faith. He would just step out and go. And then the governor went on to say that Charlie was martyred for his beliefs. I think he's the first one that used that word, though many of us thought it. Another one of his pastors, I think this was Luke Barnett at Phoenix Assembly. He was Assembly of God man. Went to a Calvary Chapel down in L.A. with, McCoy. Rob McCoy was a great man. He's the one that kept the churches, many churches open and got us to open back up. When we believed the lies that we couldn't be together and we had to stand 6 feet apart. These are the kind of people that Charlie hung out with. This man said Charlie did not hide his faith. Listen, but the killer had to hide to kill him. Charlie didn't hide. The killer had to hide because he was a coward. Because these people say, if you don't think like us, we will not debate you, we will kill you. However, Charlie did debate a lot of precious students, and a lot of people didn't believe. He was an activist for pro-choice, the unborn children. He was a voice for so many people. He was like a genius. I mean, he was such an intellectual. I didn't really know until I really started listening at what an intellectual he was. And the word of God just fell off of his lips like this on any subject, any one of them. You just pick one, and he had 2,000 at this last college when he was shot, 2,000 out there. And he was saying, come up and talk with me. It was an amazing thing. Now, they want you to be tolerant to them, but they will never be tolerant to us. But Charlie touched some because God's anointing was upon his life to do what he did. Pastor Luke said he was a cross between Martin Luther King and Billy Graham. Martin Luther King said it's okay to protest. And Martin Luther King did a lot of walks down streets of the big cities, unafraid. And he walked, but he said, if you're going to protest, we will do it peacefully. Charlie Kirk was a peacemaker. I don't know if you saw it. It was the most ridiculous scene. But there was a 70-year-old man that stepped up to the front, because anybody could take the mic and talk. This 70-year-old man, Charlie says, "What is your name?" And I don't know if he gave it to him. Sometimes they said, "That's none of your business," or whatever. And 70-year-old said, "I just come to prove you wrong." And Charlie said, "That's all right, go right ahead." And he said, "Well, I've come to tell you, you're not a man." He said, "I'm not?" He said, "Well, can you tell me what a woman is?" "Well, I didn't come to talk about a woman. I came to talk about a man, and you're not one of them." "Okay." But he said, "But I'd like to challenge you to be a man. I'd like to come you to come down here and fight me. Come on." Charlie said, "I'm not going to fight you." He said, "Because you're afraid of me." Charlie said, "No." And then he gave him a scripture. The Bible says, out of Matthew, we are to be peacemakers. We can debate. Just tell me what you want to talk about, and we can talk about it, but I'm not coming down there to fight you. "You're a coward." He said, "Well, that's okay. Whatever. But do you have anything to say?" He says, "Come down here and fight me." Charlie says, "Get him out of here." I think that was good. All right. So, and Billy Graham, he was just a godly man, I would say, using the scriptures wherever he could. I mean, he used it all the time. It wasn't where he could. He used it on national TV, college campuses, with anyone that he was talking to. It just, you know how it is, it just comes out. His wife said, this killer, she didn't call him. She didn't call him a killer. She didn't call him the one who assassinated. She said they. Because there were some other people with the whole thing. She said, "They have no idea what they have unleashed." And she said, "We will not back down." Somebody ought to give God the glory for that. We will not back down. I don't know if you saw her testimony 48 hours after the shooting. And by the way, she was there and saw the blood squirting from his neck like a fountain. They said she collapsed to her knees and started crying. And they pulled a little cross off of his neck that she had given him and gave it back to her. And you'll see that cross still in her hand today. But she said they have no idea what they've unleashed. If you haven't seen that testimony, please look at that. It's on YouTube. They asked Charlie Kirk just a couple of weeks ago, if you were to die today, what would you want to be remembered for? And in an instant, he said, "For courage of my faith. For courage for my faith. That's what I want to be known for." And that's what he's known for. All these people on the news networks are saying, he was a man of faith like we hadn't seen. I mean, he wasn't afraid to speak. He spoke the truth, and he didn't care who he spoke the truth to. And I'm going to ask you and myself not to be afraid to speak truth. You may be at the beauty shop or the school. Don't cower back. Did you ever notice how when you're in the beauty shop, these girls will talk about, I remember one New Year's Eve, or the week after New Year's Eve, I was in there, and those girls were all talking about their great New Year's Eve parties, and oh my goodness, their parties were wild and crazy. And then they asked me, "What did you do, Paulette?" And I felt like a little wimp. "Well, I went to church." No, I did feel like a wimp. I felt a little intimidated, I got to tell you. But I said, "Oh, man, we had a midnight service last night." "What kind of service?" "Church service. What are you talking about?" "God, no, I go to church all the time. We were in church. We had a midnight service. We had a great time. And I wasn't even in a stupor the next morning. I could walk and talk and have coffee." So be careful. Don't just belly up and just give up. Be intimidated. If they talk, you talk. If they don't talk, you don't have to bring it up. But they start it, you step right into it. And don't be afraid. And don't be angry about it. Don't be hateful. Don't argue just to argue. But if they want to debate, the Bible says debate once or twice. Present the book of Titus. Present your case if somebody wants to fuss about it. Present your case once, present it twice. After that, they're a heretic, O King James says. They're a heretic. Walk out and leave it alone. I think Charlie Kirk took that to heart. Well, I want to show you what I see, and many others have said he reminded them of a Stephen, and some of you may say, what's a Stephen? Well, let me show you who the New Testament Stephen was. Would you go over here with me to Acts chapter 6? Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, before we get down here, I want you to read these two chapters when you get home. Chapter 6 and 7, it's all about Stephen. And Stephen had a chance to preach to all these guys. And it was a powerful thing. He was just like, Charlie Kirk was a lot like him. I've heard some people say, man, he would go where angels fear to trod. Well, I don't know if angels fear to trod and go anywhere. But that was Stephen for sure. Because it says, in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against them. Let me tell you something. Whenever revival is on the horizon, things are beginning to happen in your life. The glory of God is starting to fall, and handfuls of purpose are starting to be dropped right in front of you. That's when the complaints come right out of hell and want to distract you and get you afraid and cause your faith to fall. Okay, so let's go on down, because the complaint rose up. So let's look at verse 8. Dee, if you would pick this up so I won't step on it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Let's go down to verse 8. Look. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Okay, you say, well, Charlie didn't do great signs and wonders. Well, he did some, no signs and wonders. I don't know if he did any miracles. However, one young man stood before him yesterday and said, I was at one of these, and I had a brain tumor. And he said, after I was here, he said the brain tumor disappeared. So who knows what happened? But let's go down to verse 10, and let me tell you what happens when somebody out of the ordinary starts to be touched by the hand of God. Verse 10. And they were not able, talking about the people in the crowd, because they didn't like the disciples. They didn't like Jesus people, period. Verse 10 says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. That kind of sounds like Kairos. He couldn't hardly resist the faith of what Charlie Kirk was saying. Verse 11, and then they secretly, induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. Lies. We heard him talk about them. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and they seized him and brought him to the council. And they also set up, look at this, false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. Somebody say, that's a lie. Got all kinds of lies going on here. And then they get even more, set themselves up to lie even more in verse 14. For we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth, well, this is the truth. We've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs at which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. Look at this. And they saw his face of an angel. I heard Jesse Waters say the other day, this is the most beautiful young man I had ever seen. Men don't call other men beautiful. So he saw something. But I want to remind you, when it says they stirred up the people and they set up false witnesses and that they were not able to resist the wisdom he spoke, so they tried to tear it down. So if people don't like the influence you're having, then they'll try to cut you back like they did him. And I don't know if you heard about the great Steven Spielberg, but let me quote him. He said, Charlie Kirk advocated stoning gays to death. Just saying. Guess what? It was a lie. And when he was confronted, he had to apologize. He apologized and took it off of his Facebook account. He took it off. And there were many other lies. Many. Look, and guess who murdered him? A gay man. A gay man. He was living with a transgender woman, a man who became a woman. So they begin to believe this propaganda. MSNBC calls President Trump a fascist. Every other sentence, fascist, communist, Marxist. And guess what was written on the bullet of this young man? Charlie Kirk was a fascist. Fascist, fascist, fascist. Why? Because that propaganda had been fed into him over and over and over. You believe what you hear. And you know what the sad thing is, you guys? I feel really bad. The sad thing is some people still believe all this stuff. They believe it, and they never get to the truth because they are listening to these lies. And if you notice, it said they stirred up the people. See, this has stirred up some people to believe the lies and stirred up the hearts of God's people to further the gospel. So you can decide which group you're in, whether you're believing the lies, because it said they stirred up the people, listen, and the elders and the scribes who were the smartest people in the land, intellectuals. They stirred up the people, the elders, the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him until this kid couldn't take it anymore, and he moved quickly, of course, hidden away. Could we just look at a little video? It's a two-minute video. I want you to see Charlie Kirk and what he preached. This, please get it up. Turn it up, brother. I don't want to miss one word of it. Yes, he stood against all kinds of innuendos and propagandas, but I want you to hear what he believed about the church.
What is the church? The church is not a place where you go to be affirmed. The church is a place where you learn why you need the cross. The church is a place where you go to be corrected, not told how awesome you are. The church is a place where you learn what sin is and what the law of God is. You want to know why church rates have been going down the last 30 years? You see, most of America says, I don't need a savior. I'm the most important person ever. And they'll walk into kind of your regular modern church and they'll be told how great they are. And they'll be told that you're the greatest person ever. These ridiculous television advertisements that I keep on saying, he gets us. That is the most narcissistic Christian ad ever. No, I'm sorry. Let me be very clear. He doesn't like get you when you're watching pornography. He doesn't get you when you're going out drinking till 2 a.m. and not taking care of your kids. He doesn't get you when you're in the abortion clinic and you're driving the girl that you had premarital sex with. No, instead, he saves you from your sin, and you must bring yourself to repentance in front of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And again, this ridiculous advertisement, he gets us. That's everything wrong with American Christianity. Everything. What is the church? The church is not a place where you go to be affirmed.
Right,
the church is a place where you learn why you need the cross. The church is a place where you go to be corrected.
That's all right. Let it go.
Not told how awesome you are. The church is a place where you learn what sin is and what the law of God is. You want to know why church rates have been going down the last 30 years? You see, most of America says, I don't need a savior. I'm the most important person ever. And they'll walk into kind of your regular modern church and they'll be told how great they are. And they'll be told that you're the greatest person ever. These ridiculous television advertisements that I keep on saying, he gets us. That is the most narcissistic Christian ad ever.
Come on.
No, I'm sorry. let me be very clear. He doesn't like get you when you're watching pornography. He doesn't get you when you're going out drinking till 2 a.m. and not taking care of your kids. He doesn't get you when you're in the abortion clinic and you're driving the girl that you had premarital sex with. No, instead, he saves you from your sin, and you must bring yourself to repentance in front of the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And again, this ridiculous advertisement, he gets us. That's everything wrong with American Christianity. Everything. What is...
Amen. So just in case some of you say, oh my goodness, he just cut back a little girl who had an abortion. No, he didn't, because he'll get in a crowd. A little girl wants to debate him on abortion, and he will give her scripture on it. Talk to her and debate it and love her, love on her. Maybe they already had an abortion. Feel in the guilt and the shame. He would talk to them about, come on now, there's no guilt, there's no shame in the blood of Jesus. Okay, so don't pull up anything into this that's not there. All right, so let's go over. I want to show you just a couple of more things, and we'll go into something else. Let's go to chapter 7, Kathy. Now, I told you guys to read this chapter because it's so amazing. He preaches the gospel. They gave him a chance to go ahead and preach because I think they had a feeling, we're going to kill this guy. So let's let him get it off his chest. So Stephen finishes his message with this, knowing he's not in a crowd where he can speak this kind of truth. In other words, this is a death sentence. All right. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They've killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, Jesus, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels, and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, of course, this is after Jesus died, and when they heard these things, they were cut. Listen to this. All the other message was absolutely awesome. And he told them, you've resisted him. Verse 54 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice. Look at this. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. They couldn't even take it. They stopped up their ears. Shut up. And they ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city. And they stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's another story. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Next to the last words that Charlie Kirk spoke was he witnessed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I had wrote that down. But he gave the gospel in a nutshell. This man had asked him, do you really believe the Bible? And he gave him the word. The next word was, are you against transgenders? He never even got a chance to answer because the coward was up on a building and shot him in the neck and he dropped back in his seat. He was just sitting there, and they killed him. So I think we can look at all this and say Charlie Kirk was a modern day martyr. He was a modern day patriot. Robert Kennedy, in my view, was also a patriot. Martin Luther King was a martyr and a patriot. There's many. But in our generation, this is amazing that we have a martyr right here. Now, what can we say to all this? What can we say? I mean, this is big stuff, and I've done the best I could to bring you some quotes and what I thought or whatever. But I want to show you now an 8-minute video. If you'll stay with me for 8 more minutes, I'm going to show you a video. How many watch Flashpoint? If you don't watch Flashpoint, you should. Kent Christmas, Robert Slaridan, who we've had here. And I'll tell you, I believe that Kent Christmas is one of the leading prophetic voices of today. He prophesied the towers coming down in 2019 on 9/11. I was honored to get to go to a pastor's conference there, and he and Candy, his wife, invited me to sit at their table for lunch. I know this humble man. He's a precious man of God. And as you lower the lights, I want you to watch this video. I believe that Kent Christmas will speak into our hearts today.
God's telling you, I know you've got something. It's all over you.
We shouldn't be surprised by this.
Right.
Because if we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus said this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When you go back and you read about the days of Noah, one of the first things that described it, it said, and the earth was filled with violence. And so every time we hear the word reset a lot, but every time in the scripture there's a reset, there's violence. When God was going to reset Israel from Egypt to Canaan, he loosed violence. When there was Noah's time, when God was going to reset humanity, there was a violent storm and almost everybody but 8 people is killed. When God is going to birth the church, there's violence and they crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm waiting for is God's response to what happened yesterday. Because I really believe that the devil stepped over the line.
Yep.
God is a tolerant God, and he won't respond when we want him to. And we'll think, well, that happened, you should respond. But God waits on his own time, and great moves of God are always birthed on the blood spilled by godly men. I don't know why God does it that way. But when the Jews killed James, God didn't do anything. But when they apprehended Peter, and Herod is going to take his head off, God responds, and he rips up their prison, and the Bible says that he tore the main gate off to the city, and he let the voice of Pentecost out. What we've had so far in the church is enough to keep Christians saved, but it's not enough to change this generation. And I think that we're getting ready to see a suddenly. I can't define it, but I know this, that what we have is not enough. And I'm with Robert. We're not going into revival. We're going into harvest. If the only thing that God is coming back for is the church, then the church is the only thing that God values. And when God comes back for the church, the scripture says that the only thing holding back the spirit of wickedness is the church. And the enemy has responded to the church because they think that they can remove voices, then they can stop the momentum of the house of the Lord. But I believe that God is getting ready to shut the mouth of the wicked. I think that there's going to be something happen in our nation, and not just in our nation, globally. If hell can shut the earth down in basically 7 days, which they did with the coronavirus, and none of us thought it was possible. If the devil can shut the earth down and shut churches down, then don't you think that God, in a moment's time, can look at the enemy who says they're in control and say, I'm going to shut you down. And I do not believe that we can win the world while it's in the midst of great chaos and great violence. I believe that God is going to do something sovereignly in the atmosphere that's going to bring a spirit of peace in the atmosphere, because you cannot bring the harvest in if you got a weapon in one hand and a threshing tool in the other. And so God is going to bring judgment on the wicked, says the Lord. And God, as the enemy has begun to take out voices that have championed righteousness, the Lord, there is going to be a spirit of death that's going to get loosed in the wicked realm. And you're going to begin to see on the news where men are going to begin to pass away that have been pivotal in the promotion of evil in the kingdom of darkness. And God is going to say, I'm going to loose a spirit of peace. And when God begins to loose that, I believe the Lord spoke this to me, that the final harvest is going to be about 35 and under. And God has looked to a whole bunch of lukewarm people and said, you wouldn't let me do it with you, so I'm going to loose my spirit on this young generation. And as God begins to loose this spirit, you're not going to, we can't weep over Charlie Kirk. He's in a better place than we are. We weep over his wife. We weep over his children. But we cannot weep. When the Bible says the disciples looked at the Lord and said, who sinned, this man or his parents? And God said, neither one of them sinned. He said, I birthed this man and let him walk in absolute darkness for 40 years for this moment to bring glory unto the Lord. And I promise you by the Spirit that God is getting ready to do something sovereignly. There is going to be a suddenly that's going to take place. I believe it's going to be in about a 24-hour period. And when God begins to do that, the houses, says the Lord, are going to begin to fill up. But this time they're not going to empty back out in 7 days or 14 days or 2 months. But the Lord said, my house is going to be filled by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord is beginning to do something by the Spirit of God. And all of these George Soros and all of these other men who have arrogantly thumbed their nose at God and said, we're in control. God said, the heaven is mine and the earth belongs to men. But God said, I didn't give it to the wicked. I gave it to the house of the Lord. So the Lord is going to bless us. There is peace in the kingdom of God. And God says, you watch me. I'm going to do this outside the hand of man. I'm going to put a muzzle, just as the enemy put a muzzle on the mouth of the church, says the Lord. I'm going to put a mouth on the spirit of wickedness that's been in this nation. And God said, you're already beginning to see it on the networks. They're talking about prayer. They're talking about the Holy Ghost. They're talking about the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, I'm just getting warmed up. And the Lord says, I'm going to give this nation back to the kingdom of God. I'm going to fill the pulpits with anointed men and women that are not sold out, that are not compromised, but are full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God said, this last move is not a charismatic move, but this is a Pentecostal outpouring apostolic move of God. God said, I'm going to take the wealth of the wicked and I'm going to give it back to the house of the Lord. I'm going to take satellites in the heavens that broadcast the lies of the wicked, and I'm going to give them back to the house of God. No wonder the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So put up your white flag. Get your hands back up in the spirit, says the Lord, because I'm still God. I'm still in control. I'm not worried. I'm not bowing down. And when I move, says God, no man can stop me, says the Lord.
Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now lift your hands up and thank him for doing the impossible, breaking the unbreakable. Come on. Believe for the impossible now. Father, only you know what your sweet people are facing down here this morning. We have all kinds of things that need to be done. And Lord, the lying devil comes and says, that can't break. That'll never stop. They'll never stop doing that. They'll never get over that. This will never happen to you. You lying spirit. I believe that you've been exposed today for your lies. In the name of Jesus, we believe, we receive. We believe. You said all things are possible if you only believe. How many can believe today? Everything's possible if you can only believe. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Can you receive that? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Revelation, the very last verse says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He's coming back. Would you look at your bride next to you and say, he says, come. Come back, Lord. Tell him. Just come back, Lord. Come on. There's brides. We are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let me bless you and then we'll be dismissed. Come on, Brother Mike. You got a word? Oh, okay. In the name of Jesus. Los de levede. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you every day and turn his beautiful countenance towards you and give you peace in your heart, your mind, your spirit, your family, your home. And I bless you with miracles come right out of nowhere in an instant. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed and kept.